Hello and welcome to episode 191 of the Startcast, Brad Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers, James.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And Stephen.
Howdy.
You guys all been playing Borderlands like me?
Negative.
Only me.
Negative? It's not a Brody game. You're not going to give up your Destiny grind for another looter shooter?
You say this, but I haven't played Destiny in like 4 or 5 months.
In my mind, you're just always playing Destiny.
Yeah.
No. Me too.
You're always playing Fortnite.
I'm trying to play Control.
Oh, I'd finish that on the weekend too. Really
Gears
good.
Pop.
Gears Pop, so true.
I haven't played that since I was harangued by you guys the other week.
How much money did you spend in Gears Pop in the end?
Probably $100. I don't know.
No way.
Good
That's
Lord.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm disgusting. I am the problem. so I'm just trying to play Control, and I sort of dabble in a few indies that I like. So, yeah.
Nice.
No,
cool.
No Borderlands is what I'm saying. No Borderlands.
I talked about it a bit last week, but Control wraps up really well, and I'm super excited for the DLC that they tease now.
I'm really in. Yeah, I'm excited for this like second expansion that's like teasing a link between like Alan Wake and Control.
Yeah,
I'm like fuck.
Is it teasing? It looks pretty explicitly Alan Wake, right?
And apparently someone said that if you read in like the in-game documents, there's like actual concrete links to like Alice Wake
there's
and
heaps.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So you say Alice Wake.
Well, that's his wife's name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I thought you were trying to like gender bend it to like Jane Bond or something.
Yeah, or Larry Croft.
Larry Croft. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Yeah, right. Now there's heaps of stuff.
So
much about the
shared universe. Mm. I'm very excited. I haven't finished it though.
I look forward to the Max Payne expansion.
Have you finished it as well, Stephen?
Oh, Control, I haven't started it. I haven't got it. Look, I really want to.
Jump on.
So much to play, but yeah, I think Control, everything I've been hearing about it just makes it sound like my exact cup of tea. I just need to find time for it.
Yeah, it might come as no surprise to anyone, being that it's a third-person over-the-shoulder action adventure, but I think it's my second favorite game of the year. I think
does
I'm
it have RPG elements?
Oh,
it's your first.
Yeah, it does have some slight RPG elements. I think Apex Legends is still my first. I've been playing that more than anything this year. So
does that count? Didn't it come out last year?
No, that was early this year.
February, March.
Really?
Yeah, because Brody was there at the event.
Okay.
So that was February or something, right?
Yeah, it was early, yeah.
You know, it's one of these things you can maybe argue kind of like Fortnite last year or whatever. Like, is it really a game when it's in early access? Like,
I feel like that's an ongoing theme of this podcast.
It's definitely
is arguing
a game.
Is it released this year kind of game, though? Anyhow, back to Borderlands. I've been playing it a bunch over the weekend, having finished Control. I know you've been playing it too, James, because you're the one reviewing it, right?
Yes.
I am. How are you coming down on it? Because admittedly, I'm a bit mixed at the moment, I think.
It's good. Let's just like plot my journey with it. I booted
have
it up
played?
And I was like, yeah, I've played all
have
of them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But I didn't do the remasters or anything. I like played them when they came out on 360. So, so I did the, I started playing it and I was like, oh, the humor's still the same, which is obviously my least favorite part. And then I started shooting stuff and collecting guns. And I was like, oh, I really miss this. Like, I forgot how much I liked the game as a game.
Yeah.
And then I'm still playing it. I'm still enjoying it. But a lot of the missions, I mean, I don't know if it's because, well, I don't know why, but like, it's a lot of going back. Like, for example, when you get on your ship, what's it called? Is it Sanctuary, the name of the ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like there were like that's a perfect example in this is there's so many missions where it's like, okay, go to A, and then it's like go to B, now go back to A, and then go to B, and then go back to A to finish the quest, and there's just so much shit like that.
It's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and you're not running between the areas. You're teleporting, like you're fast traveling, right? And so it's just kind of loading
screens. In the Sanctuary, I was running, but yeah, I feel like I'm doing a lot of fast traveling, and I don't really know if that makes it good. Like, aren't you meant to organically travel? I don't know. Like,
Yeah, I guess the bit that's kind of bothering me about that as well is that you retrace your steps a lot. Like, it starts off quite strongly with taking you to a bunch of different planets in quick succession, and they're all, like, quite different environments, and it's quite quickly you're pulled away from Pandora and that sort of desert environment that we're very familiar with within the Borderlands series, I suppose.
Yeah, but, and I think as an idea, that's great. But I don't think... I think once after, like, an hour or two on each planet, you're kind of like, oh. Like, it's still the same thing. It just looks different. And I don't really know if that's enough to, like... Like, I don't know. My big thing is like, this is definitely another game like Borderlands, but we've had three games now, and they're all the same. You can kind of look at other series, I would argue, and you can see, like, I guess, key differences between each of them, even though they're all part of the series. But this, in particular, besides the visuals, like, it does feel like the same game. Which doesn't mean it's bad, because it still plays quite well, and I'm playing with a friend, and it's like, and that's super fun. And there are bits where I've chuckled, which, like,
I'm a little bit... I've not had one of those moments at all.
Really? I've had two. I've had two, not in the main story, just, like, things people say while they're dying.
Very specific.
Someone's like,
yeah,
I had so...
Okay,
one guy was like, there's so many more feelings I wanted to feel, but, like, as he was dying, and I was like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah, yeah, I like that when you kill even just, like a real basic enemy, there's a lot of lines of dialogue recorded for their death animations. Like, I killed, like, a basic grunt. I've killed thousands of them already, and he dies, and he's like, tell my story! I was like, okay, that's humorous. I like this.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
the
rest
only
of
one
it,
I can remember.
The rest of it is, like, super cringe, and, like, I understand... That's some people's bag, but it's definitely not mine. And I also find there's a lot of, like, screaming and shouting in it. Like,
yeah,
and it gets a bit grating.
All the characters are
because
so
I'm older.
Obnoxious.
Everybody's so annoying.
Yeah, everyone is just a pain in the ass.
And the problem is, like, it kind of makes you, like, the bad guys are also annoying, but they don't. They kind of don't stand out because everybody else is just as annoying.
I want to kill them just, like, to shut them up.
Yeah, like, even friendly characters, I wish you could kill them. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, it's such a, like, I'm so all over with it, but it, as a game, it plays really, really well. It's just that other shit that really bogs it down. I didn't think the humor would be as, I thought there would be more of it, like, more in your face, but I feel like it's kind of less intense as the other games.
Yeah.
But we're definitely at a point where I feel like, the internet's different. The way memes work, so to speak, is different. Like, but this game hasn't really changed that much, if that makes sense.
There's so many references to memes as well that I think, oh, this is not going to age good. Like, in a year or two's time, this is just going to feel real stale. Have you come across the Ariana Grande reference as well?
No.
I don't know if
I've come across, like, Star Wars references, Alien references, everything.
Well, I don't know if I've, don't know if I've come across those yet. Maybe it's just the class that I decided to go at. So when it's the gunner, she says on occasion, like, when you shoot a bad guy, she'll go, thank you, next. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. But in, like, 2 years' time, are we going to think that's cool? I don't know. Steven, I'm curious as to someone that's not playing Borderlands 3. Do you have much of a connection to the Borderlands series at all? Like, is there any element to the humor, maybe, that kind of scares you away from it?
Yes. So, my Borderlands story is, like, I played the first one, like, randomly. I just grabbed it on PC, brought a laptop that could barely play it, and, like, hung out with three other people and just had a ball playing that for, like, 8 hours straight. And... Uh-huh. Then never really played it again, because, like, when I went to play it single player, it didn't really have the same, I don't know, you didn't get the same joy out of it compared to being in a room with a bunch of other nerds. And, like, yeah. Borderlands 2, I remember enjoying it a bit when it came out, but same sort of thing happened. It was difficult to play online. I think I was having some weird issues, so I never really bothered doing it. And I've tried to play it again recently. The PS4 remaster was on PS Plus pretty recently. So I thought, cool, this could be a fun thing to co-op split screen, see how we go. And, like, between the way split screen is implemented, the menus and inventory are really awful to deal with, and Claptrap, I hate Claptrap so very, very much. Like, yeah. I'm just not here for the humor where it's like, haha, I'm Claptrap, protect me, peasants. It's like, that feels so I guess it was 2006, but it feels like
Claptrap. Like, I don't know. He's such a revered character, I feel. I'm like, why?
He's an obnoxious turd.
Yeah. But everybody is.
Yeah, there's no escaping just the I think the most interesting character in Borderlands 3 is it Lilith? Like the she's kind of got like an interesting sort of arc as a character, which granted I've not seen play out fully. I'm only several hours into the game maybe. But yeah, there's just like no real depth to the characters. Any of the characters you decide to play as are just like very much ancillary, and it's, I don't know. It's I can't see me kind of playing this beyond the main quest line, I suppose.
I feel
even
like
then
with,
I'm like not sure I'll stick it out that long.
I feel like with Claptrap and like the character, the humor in general, it's the kind of thing that I'm embarrassed to admit I would have found funny when I was like 13, and now I'd kind of don't want to be in that kind of world because, like, nah, I'm past that. So I guess, you know, it might be a great game for today's 13-year-olds. So go have fun if that's you. But yeah, I think to me the humor is enough to make me not really want to bother.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't want to focus too like too heavily on the negatives without drawing some attention to the positives too. I think the gunplay is really solid. I love the variety of guns, although I desperately need to upgrade my inventory because that shit fills up way too quickly. The level scaling I find a bit bizarre when you're playing single player. I don't know if you've encountered this, James, but I've been quite underpowered going into main missions, and it's kind of forced me to go out and do side quests, which I can find a bit tedious, but I know for those that want to kind of really explore the open world, that might not be some of an issue. A lot of the weapon drops I get as a result, though, I'm also underpowered for. Like, they're all gated behind levels that I've not yet reached, which is a pain in the ass, because by the time that I kind of get to the level to use those guns, I've been inundated with more guns that are levels, you know, 1 or 2 points higher than that still. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play with friends. The gunplay is good. I love the variety of guns.
I've been playing, like, exclusively with friends and haven't really had those problems as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely how it's meant to be experienced. I
think so. The idea is you're meant to play a classic, which is where, like, when loot happens, you guys have to, like, decide amongst yourselves who gets what. But they've put, like, a new mode in now where it kind of everybody gets their own instance of each loot, which is kind of...
I think it defaults to the new mode, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the old one is... I think the old one is better.
I really disagreed. I mean, not that I assume it's the same as it was in 2, but like I really like the change in, say, Diablo 3, where you each get your own instance of the loot, but you can then say, hey, I got this thing you might like, and I'll give it to you because I'm not an asshole. Whereas I think
you can do that.
The normal mode kind of encourages you to be an asshole and just mash to pick everything up and have everything,
which is good and bad, I guess. You're playing with, though, I would say, I would argue. And then, like, you've got the dueling system, so you can be like, I'll duel you for it.
Yes, like, yeah, that's cool.
That's like a fun little diversion. It depends, like, if you're playing with a shithead, for sure, but I don't play with shitheads, so I'm well. I believe.
Lucky you're I think not that's pretty solid me. Advice for Borderlands in general. Don't play
Just
with
don't
shitheads.
Don't play with shitheads.
The characters are annoying enough. Okay, Stephen, what did you want to talk about this week?
Well, yeah, I kind of wanted to bring up... Apple Arcade is a thing happening later this week, I think. It's officially out Friday, but if you're on the beta for iOS 13, it's already out on iPhone now, so I've been giving it a little bit of a look this afternoon. Basically, it's like... But the biggest problem with mobile gaming, I find, or biggest problems are, like, being required to always be online and the, I guess, predatory additional purchase stuff, the, like, buy a billion Smurf berries and you might be able to get a thing to beat the game. Just, like, those weird sort of, I don't know, you feel gross having to spend money to play the game where it sort of gates you in these weird ways. And from what I can tell, it looks like Apple Arcade is basically a way to try and move games out of that, or out of needing to resort to that sort of garbagey sort of behavior. Like, mobile games are kind of forced into that at the moment because of the whole race to the bottom. No one's going to buy stuff if it costs more than free, really. If you put a price tag on something, as Nintendo found out, no one's going to buy it, even if it's a Nintendo game. Just the fact that it's on mobile phone means no one will spend money on it. But like the Apple Arcade, what it does is it's $7.99 a month, and it has a kind of Game Pass-ish in that there's a whole library of games, I think 52 available at the moment, and they've said sort of 100 plus in the next little while. And to be part of this, they all need to be playable offline. They can't have any ads or any additional purchases. They have to have like cross-play and cross-save between all of the Apple platforms. So if you get this subscription, you can play the same game on your iPhone and then play it on your iPad, play it on the Apple TV or on a Mac if you have one. And they all have to adhere to sort of strict privacy policies. So that's another issue with free games, is you find a lot of them will, you know, they'll ask to access your contacts. Why? So that they can send them places and, you know, do weird behavioral analytics on your stuff. It's not cool. And I like that they have specifically stated that developers can't do that. And as well as that, what Apple have done is that they are actually funding a lot of games because they're going to be exclusive, at least for mobile. They'll be exclusive to Apple's platforms. They're injecting a lot of money into indie studios to make these kind of games that they wouldn't necessarily be able to make on a mobile platform otherwise. And yeah, I think it's potentially a really cool thing. It solves all these problems with mobile gaming, and combined with the new iOS coming out later this week, you can use regular like DualShock 4s and Xbox One controllers on Apple TVs and iPads, iPhones. You sort of combine that with this new library of games, some of which look like they'd play really nicely with a controller. I think it's a really compelling thing. I'm super kind of excited to jump into it and play around.
Yeah, have you played anything yet?
Not much, because it only sort of came out in beta today, and I've been at work most of the day. But the one I did play is something called Sayonara Wild Hearts, and it's they describe it as a pop album in the form of a video game. I guess it's sort of mechanically it's a runner game, so auto runner, and you're sort of moving left to right to collect things, but it's all done in sort of rhythmically according to the beat, and it's really neat. It's very electropop, I guess, closer to an Anna Meneguchi style than a Carly Rae Jepsen style.
Synthy?
it's synthy-ish kind of. Yeah, it's pretty good fun. And I know I've looked at a couple of the other games that are in the library so far, and there were some surprising ones. There were a bunch of ones from Way Forward. Like, it looks like there's an entirely new Shantae game that's exclusive to the service. They've also got this one called Spider Saws, which looks basically to be a Contra-like game, except sort of cartoony and Way Forward looking, I guess.
We now have that list of all 52 games. It's published over on the site. So if you want to see a breakdown of them all, in a nice big list form, you can see it all there.
Yeah.
Must admit, I'm much more interested in this than I thought I was going to be. I think you've done quite a good job there of selling it as well, Stephen, and that it's
my it check actually comes kind in of from removes, Apple next week.
Yeah. It removes a lot of the kind of ickiness kind of from the game section of the Apple Store, and kind of creates a curated section, I think, in a way where you can, as hopefully, like a bunch of really quality games all alongside each other.
Lego Brawls.
Yes, it looks like a weird Lego Smash Bros. Game from the little look I had at it. So that
sounds
could
like
be
a Ewan game.
That sounds like a real Ewan game.
What about I really want to try the Rayman game that's on there.
Me too.
Rayman mobile games have been fantastic. So
yeah. I don't know if my iPad's going to run any of this stuff. It's such an old iPad.
How old is it?
I don't know. I've had it for a long time. I couldn't even tell you what model it is anymore. I'll take it out. Brody, as the resident mobile gamer here at Press Pass, where do you come down on this?
It's probably a bit stupid of me to say, but I just don't know if I can justify another subscription.
That's my only thing too.
I know I just dropped a hundo on, you know, Gears Pop, but let's put that aside and focus on the issue at hand.
No, let's not.
I don't know. I'll try the first 30 days and like just see what's good. I mean, there's a lot that does jump out at me, like Devolver, like who I love.
Yeah, they're all over it.
they do good stuff. They've got heaps of games out on it. Capybara have a new game on the thing, and you've got like that Annapurna game, which Steve mentioned, the Sayonara Wild Hearts. Mm. So there's some cool stuff I definitely do want to play, but whether it's something that will be an ongoing interest remains to be seen, because I'm not typically a huge mobile gamer. Like, I have a long commute to work, but I drive, so like I don't get time to do it then, obviously, or mm-hmm. I shouldn't. So you know, and if I'm at home, I'm just playing consoles. So it's not really.
What about? Let's no. I have a question
Go on.
For Steve, because I'm sure he knows it all.
Shoot me.
I have an Apple TV 4K. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
Like, I think it's the newest one.
Yeah, yep.
Can you play games on that?
Yes. And
so are these games, like, good console-y games, do you reckon?
Some of them are. Like, it looks...
Some of them are really high res, yeah. Some of them are...
What?
Sorry. I just hear, it, like, in my left ear, it's some of them are, in my right ear, no.
I don't know, some of them look like they would be well-suited to playing with a controller, I guess. There are some that are clearly designed for touch, but there are some, you know, that would work pretty well with a controller. And, like, yeah, as I said, what? You can hook up a 360, a Xbox One or a PS4 controller up come Friday. So, yeah, this makes it easy to do.
Very interesting. Maybe I'll give
we
it a go.
We could play Rayman on our big screens.
Give it a go
Rayman
and complain?
Really good too, I think.
Nothing's on the Switch. That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
That's what a good Nintendo fan does. Yeah, no, Rayman will be great. I reckon it'll be look amazing on a TV and shit.
Hmm. It's interesting some of the developers
Rayman,
that you've
never played it before.
Yeah. It's interesting some of the developers that are supporting it. Like, I noticed even like Square Enix are on there with supposedly the Bravely Default and Octopath Traveler team. Like,
yeah, 77 Final Fantasy ports of some sort.
It's so weird. The name for this game is called Various Daylife, all in capital letters. It's such a weird Square Enix name. Yes. I have no idea what it's going to be like, but the name just makes me want to play it.
There's so many different types of day life you can have.
Yes. Various.
If you would say there's various day life.
Yes. You could.
And there's a game by Rack7 Games called Sneaky Sasquatch.
Oh, yes. So, that looks fantastic.
That's what people call me.
I've only watched the video preview for it, but it looks like you are a Sasquatch and just go around stealing people's food from picnics and running away from the park ranger. It looks pretty good.
Isn't that what Ordinary Goose City? Ordinary Goose Game is?
Maybe.
You know what I want? I was just thinking about it, hearing about Sneaky Sasquatch. You remember, like, that ski jump game you play, like, in, like, the old ASCII 2 form or whatever it is? You know what I mean? Where, you ski down and it's all made of, like, text?
Oh, I was thinking Ski Free, but that's not quite that primitive.
No,
I think it's probably similar. And like, the Sasquatch comes out from behind the tree and eats you?
Yeah, that's Ski Free.
That's an actual game, isn't it?
That has, like, graphics and stuff.
Okay, I was thinking of a different one then. But let's say that. I want the game from the other angle. I want to play the Sasquatch.
Just eating. Chasing down skis.
So like a 4v1 asymmetrical multiplayer ski free. We're onto something.
We're onto something.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's you pitch it favorite to Apple. Genre.
Yeah. I'm just watching a video for Skate City at the moment. It looks really cool.
Yeah, that one looked
Thanks
pretty neat.
Thanks for contributing to the conversation that we just had.
Hey, Brady, what do you want to talk about this episode?
I figured we would... I just looked it up. Skate City looks dope.
Yeah.
Looks so cool. I thought we'd just quickly maybe just touch on the TGS gameplay they showed for Death Stranding, if anyone happened to watch it.
No, I'm at the point now where I just don't need to see any more of this game. It's clear they're not going to tell us anymore.
You've seen
about
nothing
what
of it
happened.
So far.
Yeah.
And I'd want to keep it that way.
I saw, like, the 40-something minutes of gameplay came out, and I went to go and watch the video. I'm like, I don't need to do this to myself. Like, this is 49 minutes of gameplay I'm likely going to experience myself. I don't need to sit through and watch this. I don't need to see Norman Reedus peeing into a bush only for a mushroom to sprout out of the earth. What did I miss, though? What happened in the video?
Well, in truth, I skipped through a fair bit of it because I find the game to be mind-numbing. and... That may be controversial.
I feel like we're just subverting so many expectations today. Borderlands 3, kind of shit.
I mean,
Death Stranding.
Shannon got really upset with me because he messaged me and he's like, "Oh, what'd you think of that? That was really cool." And I was like, "I was bored as shit." But I don't know. I'm sort of between two minds about the game. Like, part of me thinks, yeah, it's like, it's really nice looking, it's unique, it does a lot of things that no other games do. But then the other side of me thinks, it's so much unnecessary shit. Like, you know, like, what's one of the things I said before? Like
if the balancing thing?
Yeah, if you're walking up a hill and your character loses balance, if you don't steady yourself, you drain stamina quicker. And it's shit like that. Like, that's the reason I didn't play Breath of the Wild.
Do you have to balance yourself with a six-axis remote? Is that how that works?
I think it was just the right stick based on what I saw. Yeah, and I don't know. It's just stuff like that. And there's so much walking. Like, and like, even when they did show...
It sounds exhausting.
I don't like walking in real life. But, like, even when they show... Because they show a boss fight, and they finally show a bit of the combat in the demo. Even that looks sort of, like, janky as hell. And I was sort of like, eh. I'm just not really convinced. Like, I'm kind of hoping that this very easy mode that they keep talking about, that everyone's really upset about because games should be hard. I hope it's honestly just a movie that I can watch and, like, divorce myself from this gameplay because I just do not want a part of it.
But if that's what you're doing...
I don't know. No, I'm sorry, but, like, I just...
No, you're not.
Like, I'm not. Like, I'll be happy to, like, get this game, be proven wrong. Like, maybe it's just a bad game to watch. Those do exist.
Yeah, like, potentially.
Like, I could not sit there watching someone play No Man's Sky... But, like, I found enough to do in that myself that I found it interesting.
Yeah, I've sort of been saying recently that, as revered as Kojima is, and as undoubtedly as untalented he is, I don't think there's any guarantee that this game's going to be good. Like,
no, People are assuming it's gonna, like, people are talking about it
like it's already the game of the year. I'm like, oh,
the cult around Kojima is like, or like, I hate it. It's like one of the biggest things I hate about him. It's not even him. Like, I need to let him know that, like, his people are failing him. Like,
get your people in line.
Yeah, literally. But I think I disagree. No, I don't disagree with Brody, or do I? Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. I mean, I'll just leverage my
heart and my brain, you know?
No, I will say, I could be wrong, because I'm pretty sure this demo sort of only existed to sort of demonstrate what the core gameplay loop is going to be. Like, the point of, like, going A to B, delivering things, this and that. I don't think it really touched on, I guess, the heart of what you're doing and, like, why you're doing it and, like, character motivation and stuff like that. And that sort of thing can sort of help drive me along in a game because I tend to care about story more than most things. But I am concerned in that regard too because I'm not sure Kojima's going to make anything close to anything that I can comprehend. So,
but that's what he reckons it's a new genre. Like, you can't describe it until you play it.
It's a Strand game, but then he's also said today it's a metaphor for America. So, like, he's like, it could be a metaphor for America. It could be for the EU. Yeah,
I'm sort of fascinated by the politics of the game, though, and he's kind of talked about or like hinted at kind of touching on bits of communication theory, which is what that's what I studied. I kind of find that fascinating.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Like, Metal Gear Solid 2 was entirely about communication and obfuscating information, like. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, that all interests me.
I think it's all going to be heavy-handed as hell.
I think, but the more like autonomy he gets, the more ridiculous.
He can't be controlled.
Like, yeah,
well, that's the thing. This, like, is him unrestrained, right?
Yeah, I think what happened with Konami was like horrible, and shouldn't happen to anybody. But I do think as a business, they were probably a little bit tired of like. How long things were taking and how much he wanted to do, I think. And, like, because Metal Gear Solid 5 was pretty unintelligible. Like, it was obviously unfinished as well. But, like, this just feels like, I guess, the natural evolution of what he wanted to... I think every, like, idea he had for MGS5 that he couldn't do has been, like, kind of redeveloped or repurposed into this game.
I kind of hope they do I kind of hope they do like a documentary about the development of this game.
Jeff Keighley's already filmed it.
He's already working on it. He's got secret cameras.
Yeah. But like, the thing that like still like I just blows my mind a little bit, because I was like even just watching like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
Like obviously Margaret Qualley's in that, and I was just thinking to myself like, how has Kojima got her to be in this game?
Yeah,
like,
And
then like obviously Lindsay Wagner, we've talked about her like many times before. Almost came out of retirement for this. Like,
yeah, it's true.
She probably doesn't know what a video game is.
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
You want me to be in the Pac-Man?
Do you know she actually, like, when I was watching an interview with her, and she, or I feel like she's the only person who knows what's going on besides Kojima. She's like, I just love the concept and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, even Lea Seydoux, she's in, like, James Bond movies. Like, these are really big stars and stuff.
Yeah.
Although I hate Norman Reedus, but like,
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, like, so bizarre. Yeah. But I think they traded because his, like, Kojima's in his shitty TV show. But like, I don't know, it's like, it's kind of exciting. It's almost like an event. I think everyone's going to buy it and play it and talk about it.
I'm fascinated about everything about the game, except for the gameplay itself.
Yeah, like, right.
Well, I want to experience it. And Uncharted take it all 4. In. But, yeah. Like, that was a cheap shot. Ewan, calm down. That's okay.
But like, I think games don't do that as much as they used to anymore. And that is a good thing that's to be commended, I think. And I don't think many directors could pull this off like he has. Although he hasn't really pulled it off yet, I guess. But... I feel like I understand what the babies are for, and that's really all that matters.
Really? What's your theory on the babies?
No, they've, like, explained it. Like, talked about how the babies, they're like, built in... They're not built. They're, like, made inside steel mothers, which are, like, brain-dead mums, and they're used to communicate with the other side of the world, but they can only do it if they think they're still in the womb, which is why they're in those funny tanks.
So, hang on. When you say the other side of the world, do you mean, like, another...
The other side... I mean, like, sorry. The other dimension, sorry. Like, right, the stranded dimension or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'm into like, this shit. I'm into this weird stuff.
But it's so fucking stupid. Like, I don't know why I love it so much.
it's because we like things like Lost and things that don't make sense, really.
Like, even Control, Metal Gear, like, that shoots bees out of his mouth.
Yeah, Control's got some really weird elements to it as well. You're going to have to suspend disbelief a fair amount.
I hope there's, like, some cool battles and stuff in it. I know that it's, like, not meant to be at the combat and stuff, but I do think Kojima is so good at, like, choreographing, like, really good boss battles in games, and, like, I would hate if he lost that. Although, Peace Walker and MGS5 had shit ones, so I don't know, maybe he's done with them.
Some of the, some of the really tense kind of moments with the supernatural ghosty things kind of springing up the ground in the previous gameplay we've seen looks quite good. Like, the it looks BTs. Introducing, yeah, the beach it looks things. Introducing sort of a, like, a horror element that makes for some pretty tense scenarios. I think that could all be interesting, assuming it's all kind of paced out well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful. I think it's going to be an interesting moment in video game history anyhow. Like, having this kind of auteur of video games kind of given this blank check, essentially, and just unleashed. I suspect, you know, gaming historians, if such a thing is kind of happening, will be getting out the notepad and pens and frantically taking notes for the inevitable biographies.
I wonder if they'll, like, send out review copies. Like, I feel like it's a game they might not want to do that.
They just drop it out and drop it
to everyone at the same time. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, who's waiting to see the reviews before they buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, even if we've got 2s and 4s and stuff out of 10, like, I'd probably still buy it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I want to know what Fragile is. Like, and who Emily is, you know? Well, I know who she is, but you know what I mean.
We're getting closer to the day where we'll maybe discover all this. Who knows? Who can really be sure at this point? But I think it's time that we play a game, or a round, I should say, of What the Wiki, which is the Starcast game show where the host reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and you, the contestant, must guess the game. Thanks to the official What the Wiki keeper of the score at Jamie Penning over on Twitter, we have a recap from last week in which James took over the... Hang on, I'm actually trying to pull it up because I didn't have it open and I could not vamp long enough to pull it up. I'm almost there, though. I'm almost there.
This
we have
is
a recap from last week's where James was back in the hosting seat. I was right. The battle was between Brody and myself. Brody was ultimately the winner, closing the gap on James. So, James, you're at 8 points. Brody's on 6. Steven's on 4. I'm on 2. And Shannon's on 1. So, Brody, you'll be hosting it this week. James, opportunity for you to creep that lead back out, or Steven to also enter the competition, really, fine for that number one spot. I mean, you're there. You're there. Like, if you get one more point, you'll be, like, in the contention for number one spot, is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
That well, makes there you sense, go. Right?
Brody, take it
talking.
Away.
Let's move
Save
on.
Save me.
All right. Let's kick it. All right. So this first game comes to us thanks of our friend Jamie Penning. The game was released on September 14, 2004 for Microsoft Windows. A port to Mac OS was released on June 17, 2005. 8 expansion packs and 9 stuff packs were subsequently
Steven.
Released.
Steven. The Sims.
It is not The Sims.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Were subsequently released along with several console ports. The game builds on its predecessor... Ewan.
Oh, The Sims 2?
It is The Sims 2!
I should have known because of the stuff packs.
I'm so glad you said the word predecessor like after I buzzed in.
So he sent us that one because it's been 15 years since The Sims 2 came out.
There you go. Hot damn.
Wow.
Which is wild. That was
the last one I played, I think.
Wow, wait. You didn't play The Herbs?
No, I didn't. Oh, sorry.
I think that was before that. Anyway.
I played the GameCube one to death. I love the hell out of that game.
You have to buy a separate memory card for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because it took up so much space. So bad.
I don't think I've ever played The Sims.
What?
I don't know.
It was a moment in time that I think you might have missed.
At a friend's house or something with them, maybe. I can't remember. I've not got, like...
reminded me.
A memory of it, though.
Something.
But cool.
Let's move on.
Not important, I take it.
No, it's about... I wanted to ask Brody a question, but we'll do it at the end. But
okay.
Let's go.
I'll remind you. All right. So, Ewan is on the board, and guys, he could take this win. Cool. Yeah, if yous don't act up and fire up. So, here we go.
But it doesn't matter. All right. Like,
it doesn't. It doesn't. All right.
I could get a bronze medal. I'm just
It's like whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter. We're just here for the fun. All right. The game is a third-person shooter action video game, Ewan, you might know this, developed by Artificial Mind and Movement and published by Bethesda Softworks for the PS3 and Xbox 360 video game consoles. A PSP version was planned, but ultimately cancelled. The game's gameplay revolves around killing opponents with both firearms and swords while engaging in acrobatic moves.
Oh my god, James?
James?
Is it wet?
It's wet.
Oh my god,
man!
And I chucked that in because it's been 10 years since Wet came out.
Damn,
the Eliza Dushku led.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that sounded so familiar. I just couldn't think of what it was.
Fun fact: my girlfriend at the time when that game came out, she fucking loved it. She was all over Wet. She loved it.
What an interesting story.
I feel like there's a joke here, but I really don't want to make it. Can we just move on?
Oh my god, how old are you?
apparently, do
you write for Borderlands? Yeah. All right, moving on. So James on 1, Ewan on 1. Okay, the game is a remake of a game that won't be named. Developed by Ubisoft Shanghai, only for the Sony PlayStation in 2002. While it was the same game, both in terms of plot and concept, only the racing half of the game was ported. Also, there are a lot of other differences, probably due to the PlayStation's limited specifications resulting in a poor conversion. The Teensies were replaced with a new character. There were conversions of 12 race tracks, the level Treasure Ship was removed and replaced with Canopy, and a slightly edited introduction movie. The game only supports up to 2 players due to the PlayStation's hardware limitations. The game it's based off sports the suffix M or arena outside of Europe. Now that's all I've got written. So I'm going to have to.
This is such a Steven one, surely.
I feel like it should be, but nothing's coming to mind.
So it's a racing game.
Or it partially is.
Technically, it is a racing game. And the game it's based off, yeah, its suffix is M. And it was, but it was known as Arena outside of Europe. Let's see what else I can pull from the Wikipedia.
No, we would have the European version, right? We'd have the M.
Probably. We usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But in any case, it's a multiplayer party game developed and published by Ubisoft. The game encompasses two versions. There was a PlayStation 2 version and a Microsoft Windows version. This is the original I'm reading from now, so infer as you will. It's a spin-off of another series, a Ubisoft series. The game retains a number of elements that previously appeared in the
predecessor. Steven?
Steven?
Was it called Rayman Arena?
So that's the one that it's based off.
It's got to be a Rayman game. Oh. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm. It's based off Rayman Arena.
Oh, there was that weird multiplayer Rayman that I don't remember the name of. Keep going. I'll keep thinking.
A remake titled Rayman Blank was released for the PlayStation, which only features the racing portions. Boys, there's really limited...
Rayman Dash. Rayman...
That's actually really close, but no.
Rayman Mash? Rayman Arena? Oh.
Are we really doing
was
this?
Was it Rayman Rush?
It was Rayman Rush. Oh.
God damn it! Oh, no. I fucking had that game! No! Why didn't that come back to me? No! Oh my god. And because it was a racing game, but you run, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. You're on foot, yeah.
No! I played that game as a kid!
One of the few games you actually played. But you know what this means, boys? It's all tied up.
Oh, damn.
Clammy.
Going into, so am I. Damn so it. Am I.
I'm all right. So mad right now. Is this how you feel, James? Is this how you feel all the time?
This is how I feel every week.
Oh, it sucks. You've ended this game.
All right, boys. The decider. Okay. Oh,
it's going to be so over quickly. I feel sick.
The game... The game is a racing video game developed by Umbrella for the Nintendo DS. It was a launch title in Japan, and Europe. It was the first game in its respective franchise to be released for the handheld. The player uses a stylus to control the player character and race through checkpoints. After players have passed each of the number of checkpoints in order, the course is completed. The stylus is used by moving the stylus in the direction you want to run. Along with racing on the ground, there are races in sky using balloons.
Steven? Look, I don't think it's this, but Pokemon Dash?
Steven has won!
Oh, damn it!
It is Pokemon Dash!
There you go.
Yeah, hurrah.
And I threw that in just Steven. To celebrate
come
our boy.
Behind win from Steven.
Yes.
Well
thank
done.
You. Thank you, thank you.
So that's in to celebrate Ash Ketchum allegedly finally winning a Pokemon championship after 22 years.
Yeah, there you go.
I read on something, so good for him.
Good go, enough. Ash.
So, yay. Steven, on the board.
Yeah. Finally. So James still in the lead on 8 points, Brody just behind on 6. But Steven, yeah, now in third spot and competing. Well, he was in third spot before, but he's really competing for the top spot, okay? It's getting hot. There's a competition happening here. He's on 5 points, only a point behind Brody. I'm still on 2 points, Shannon on 1. And we'll be back for another round of What the Wiki next week. But for now...
Hang on, but for now... James, what was your question?
It's random. I was just going to ask Brody how he feels about the game moving out, because it's a furniture removal sim.
Oh. people probably don't know. That is my job.
There we go.
A little bit about me.
We could have just turned it with your passion,
Brody.
Me.
Really passionate about home removaling.
yeah. Look, I really actually want to try and get hands on with it so I can actually do a feature, because I feel like that'd be interesting ish. To get like a furniture removalist perspective on the game, because
it's probably about totally the most interesting it, perspective though, you could have. On
though
that
though
game.
We don't move in like out of space and things like that, and we typically don't throw couches through windows. you know, it happens sometimes.
You'd be the, like, most appropriate person to know or imagine what it would be like to move out in
space. I really should have, I should have been consulted for the game.
I want to see a Let's Play with you playing that game. Like, just critiquing the realism. And
someone who doesn't move furniture.
Pivot!
Yeah, and I'll be like, so now, in this instance, mate, we would put the couch in the knees position, and they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, because it's cooperative, isn't it?
Is that what you call it?
That would be so good.
If you lift up a couch and face the knees to the ground,
is that like 90 degree? Yeah, diagonal. Yeah.
So the back's in the air.
I didn't know that had a name. I learned something today. Yeah.
What was the name? I missed it.
Like the front part of the couch, we call the knees.
Oh.
I guess that's where your knees bend on the couch, isn't it?
Yeah. So then when we pick up a couch and we want to tip the couch over onto its knees, that's what we mean.
There you go.
Ooh, yep. Sounds
a little bit of look behind the mirror.
With that, let's bring an end to what was episode 191 of the Startcast. Subscribe to us on Podcast One or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au. Join the conversation with hashtag the Startcast and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by James.
Yep.
Are you alive?
Yeah, I am. I just have not had water for what feels like 10 years. But I am here and you're on Twitter too. So at James, @TJAMZ.
Any idea when we might be able to expect your final Borderlands review? Don't want to rush you.
No, it's fine. I have something else in the works too.
Oh my gosh.
Super secret.
Oh like, my gosh.
Is it your expose on the Sega version of Aladdin?
Is it your documentary on Death Stranding?
Oh my god, I want to do the Aladdin thing. No, it's another review for another game that everyone's probably forgotten about. But Borderlands will be up by the end of the week, for sure.
Nice.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Let's say that.
We've also been joined today by Brody.
That was really lots of pressure.
Yeah, thank you. You can find me on most things at Brody_DG.
And we've also been joined today by Stephen, taking home the points.
Yeah, find me on @StephenImpson on Twitter and Instagram. I'll probably tweet about Apple Arcade games for a while, I guess. We'll see how that goes.
I expect a review of an Apple Arcade game a day, every day.
Oh, dang, that's a project.
52 days.
Like little bite-sized letterbox reviews. Yeah.
By this time next year, I'll have reviewed the entire launch lineup.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Ewan_Roxburgh. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.